This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get out to the River Islands guest line. It's that time. Coach Curry's here, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Also brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today. Hey, Coach, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing all right, man. Obviously navigating through some new concern from all the Warrior fans today, you know?
Yeah, well, it's the NBA, you know. It's not like we were a great team in Phoenix and all of a sudden got bad. It's just, you know, everybody can play, everybody can shoot. The modern NBA, man, the shooting variance is crazy. So you just got to keep moving forward.
Coach, this is something that popped into my head when I watched the last couple of minutes last night. There were some sloppy turnovers from some pretty big names on your team. There's no doubting that. And my mind went to a couple of weeks ago when you guys had that loss against Denver where Jokic missed the game. And you had sort of said that a sign of that emotional fatigue for you in watching mainly Steph is when you see some of that kind of sloppy play. Do you transfer that to last night as well? Does that feel the same to you or different?
No, I don't see any of that at all. In fact, Steph was just incredible last night in that second half when we were down and made huge plays. I thought he looked good. His energy was good. Yes, we made some mistakes down the stretch, but that's part of the game. I made some mistakes. I could have done better myself. We all are in this together. And, you know, as much as you hate to lose that game, given its importance, you look at how San Antonio played, making 18 threes, seven of them in the fourth quarter alone. You have to give them credit. You can't just expect to win games. Now, we did not play well, there's no doubt, and we missed a lot of shots. But this is all part of an NBA season. You take the whole 82 and you add them up at the end, and I'm very confident that we're going to take care of business here in the next couple of games.
Well, you sure are making it exciting through all 82, so thanks for that, question mark. And, you know, Steve, I'm normally big-time Captain Positive guy, at least I like to think I am,
what?
But you mentioned mistakes that you made. Is there anything you want to highlight? Because I have a couple if you're looking for suggestions.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
No, you know, we were in a tricky spot with both Quentin and Gary out. And so we made some lineup choices both in the second quarter and the fourth quarter, you know, just trying to find combinations that would fit and that would give us some spacing. And, you know, I probably could have tried some different things rotation-wise. I probably could have called a couple of different plays, you know, after timeouts. These are the things as a coach, you know, when you lose a game, you watch the tape, you stay up at night, you know, you think about all the stuff you could have done differently. And It's all part of it. So, but if you do have suggestions, I'm all ears. What do you got for me?
Yeah, what do you got?
The one that kind of sticks out is Harrison Barnes 3, the game-winning dagger. You had Steph guarding the ball. Any thought to maybe putting a more active on-ball defender to make things a little bit more difficult on the inbounder?
You know, we sometimes will put a big on the inbounder, but with 3 seconds left, the inbounder himself is very dangerous because he can pass and get the hand back, you know, get a pass back. And so we decided to put Steph on the inbounder so that he wasn't involved in the switches, you know, off ball, in case there were screens, and you know, that were involved in the play. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good suggestion. And oftentimes we do put a big on the ball, but with that much time left, I try not to.
Do you guys have a suggestion box? Because we've got listeners who I think would have more, you know, more ideas.
Really? Huh?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I get a lot of emails with lots of suggestions. And so, yeah, I'm always always interested in those. So, yeah, please keep them coming. Why don't you guys do a suggestion box and just pass them along?
If you ever go to a third row of coaches, myself and about 18 people on the YouTube would be happy to sit there.
I'm sure there's a lot more than that.
Yeah, and what is your email address, Coach? Go ahead. Steve Kerr joining us. By the way, before we move off of the GP2 and Quinton Post thing, anything on their availability for tomorrow night?
Not yet. We're hopeful. They're both on the trip, and we're hopeful that they will play. I thought Gary's absence was really big last night. We had a hard time staying in front of Castle. You know, when they went small and took Biombo out, it was basically five out. They had shooting everywhere, and we really struggled staying in front of Castle, and that really caused a lot of the breakdowns that led to a lot of the threes. And you know, that's one of the reasons Gary is so crucial to us, is his on-ball defense. You put him on the best ball handler, the point guard. And then at the other end, he's one of our best finishers, you know, as a roll man, as a dive man. He's kind of a point guard on defense and a power forward on offense, as you guys know. And so we missed him last night. We missed Quentin's, you know, space shooting with that second group that we start, or not, I shouldn't say second group, but top of the second, top of the fourth lineup that we've gotten very comfortable with. So we miss those guys, but it's all part of it. Everybody has injuries, and we needed to respond a little bit better, and we didn't do it, but now we got to respond again.
Coach, also in 90 minutes, there's a basketball game that you'll probably find interesting. Will you guys all kind of get together and watch this, or what's your plan?
No, we'll all be following it, but everyone's got, you know, different plans and friends in town, going to dinner, whatever it is. But, we will be paying close attention from our phones for sure.
Can you remember another year in the Western Conference that's been like this? Not only the standings, but, you know, your former colleague Mike Brown fired and Taylor Jenkins fired, and then now Michael Malone fired with 4 games left and them in a top 4 spot. What did you make of that firing and just the West in general this year?
Yeah, I mean, the firings this late in the season really seem unprecedented to me, but I don't know my full NBA history. I just don't remember during my time in the league anything like this happening. So those are both surprising, given the status of both teams, you know, Denver and Memphis both being, you know, playoff teams. And the Mike Brown firing was to me rushed and not the move to make with a guy who's turned your program around. But, like, you know, that was the history of the NBA is every franchise gets to do what they want to do, right? That's how it works. And so lots of great coaches have been fired, and I'll probably be one of them at some point in my career too. So this is the business we're in, and we all know what we're signing up for, but it is it does seem a little strange this late in the season.
Well, so many of them, Coach, they feel like, and I think this is the nature of the league now, that there's some sort of discord either between a coach and a front office, or a coach and their star player or players, or maybe a mixture of all of it. And so all of this going on certainly led me to want to ask you, like, how has your group at least seemingly, all stayed on the same page through a decade plus.
Well, we have great people, and we understand the value of stability and sticking together, and that we have a lot of healthy conversation, you know, behind the scenes, and plenty of arguments and all that stuff. But we are always connected and aligned, and it's crucial. It's the only way it can work. And I have to say that you know, one of the reasons it works is because of Steph Curry too. When you have this kind of stability and leadership from your best player, it really filters through the entire organization. And so we're blessed. We've got a lot of great people, great organization, and we've stuck together through thick and thin. It's the only way you can do it.
It's been more thick than thin, and that's been awesome. But I wonder about the messaging, because now it's 11 years in, and Steph's been here for all of it, and Draymond too. And at some point, it's human nature to kind of tune somebody out when it's the same thing over and over. So how have you evolved, not only in your style, but in your messaging with guys who've been there as long as you have?
Well, we have a lot of fun. We really care about each other. I think most coaches who are able to stick around for a long time, you know, I think of Greg Popovich, who I played for, Phil Jackson. I don't know. I think there's a comfort level with the fact that this is an emotional business, but you can't approach it with an emotional manner. It has to be, you have to be measured. You have to be able to deal with the losses like last night. You have to be able to tell the truth, but you also, you know, have to give guys the space they need to get through an 82-game season. And, you know, I've got my flaws as a coach. There's plenty of stuff I can do better, but I do think that we have a great vibe in our building, and most of that is our players, but I think I've learned how to try to foster that vibe and create a good environment where everybody feels safe and productive and joyful, and I take a lot of pride in that.
Coach Kerr with us here, as he is every week, on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. You know, it's kind of funny, Steve, like the whole two timelines phrase that became such a lightning rod with Warrior basketball over the last few years. When you hear of the things that are going on around the Western Conference, it feels like that's a subject for a lot of teams. The balancing of veteran players and going for it now versus development of our young assets. And that's clearly been something that I'm sure you guys have talked about and argued about. What is your philosophy on that? Like, how have you been able to navigate that over the last 3-4 years?
Well, my philosophy, number one, is that the coach and the GM are two separate jobs, and they need to stay separate jobs. I just don't think it's possible for one guy to do both jobs. It's always been my philosophy that, you know, first Bob and now Mike, it's their job to put together the roster, and I respect the work that they do. And then it's up to me and our coaching staff to coach the guys we have. And you know, we're for sure going to give our opinions on personnel matters, but ultimately there's a good, healthy separation of church and state. And then from there, it's really important to work together and collaborate. And that's where it gets tricky. You know, sometimes, you know, and you're reading about it right now with different teams. You know, you get, you know, management wants to play one guy, coach wants to play another. You have to work through that, and there's ways to do that and collaborate and stay on the same page, even if you have disagreements.
And it's tough, especially this time of year where you get into virtual must-win territory. Is it safe to say that you feel more comfortable leaning toward a veteran as opposed to a younger player if all things are created equally?
I wouldn't say that at all. So, I mean, I just think it's safe to say that I lean towards the best lineup combinations that I can find, regardless of the age of the players.
Coach, I know we touched on this a little bit earlier, I realize the position you guys are in. Nobody wants to sound like they're complaining this time of year, but sort of a two-pronged question. A, how do you see fatigue affecting your team because of that recent road trip? And the B part of the question is, how vital is some rest for you guys next week?
Well, that, I think the road trip that we came off of, followed by this, the stretch, Denver, Houston, at Phoenix, home last night on the back to back. There's no question that factors in. Now, when you say that, you go, okay, so what? 29 other teams have the exact same stuff. We all have our schedule issues during the season. Some stretches are better than others. You acknowledge it, but you don't use it as an excuse. So none of that matters. I mean, we are where we are. I would argue we're in a great spot, 22-7 since we got Jimmy. If we made that trade, when we made that trade, can you imagine sitting here going, oh, yeah, and by the way, you're going to go 22-7. You're going to have top five offense, top defense, top five defense, and this is where you'll be with two games left in the season. You don't think we would have jumped at that?
Yep.
So the entire narrative has shifted. The entire vibe has shifted since Jimmy's arrival. So you can't let, one loss or a couple losses dampen that, when you just have to recognize the West is loaded. There's a bunch of great teams. There's a bunch of great organizations who have put together, really good programs. And this is competition at its highest level, and we are in the mix. And I can't wait for tomorrow night and then Sunday and then whatever comes after that.
And hopefully whatever comes after that is not until the following Saturday or Sunday. Is there a sense of added pressure and a desire to avoid those play-in games just to give a team with an older core a little bit of additional rest after the gauntlet you've been through?
There is. Of course there is. I mean, we want the week off. We're also well aware that there's plenty of ways to get, get through this stuff. And you don't even know how matchups are going to play into this. Who you can play, how it plays out. I know the Lakers made the conference finals 2 years ago through the play-in. It's not like it's a death sentence to go to the play-in. But there's no doubt you'd rather avoid it just to not have to deal with the extra game or two, but also the the stress of having to get through those games.
Steve Kerr with us. Coach, we of course have to have some fun with what turned into a viral moment the other night. Let's play it for our listeners. From TNT, this was not last night, but the game against the Suns, with you talking to Buddy Hield on the sideline there.
Buddy, Steph Curry, Buddy Hield. I want you guys to meet each other. Say hello to Steph. He's the greatest shooter in the history of the world. Wide open. I love you, buddy. I love you.
All right, take us through introducing Buddy Hield to Steph Curry the other night.
I was just having fun. Buddy is the greatest guy of all time. This guy brings so much joy and laughter to our locker room every single day. And so he's a guy who can laugh at himself. He missed Steph. Steph was wide open in transition for a corner three. Buddy launched one. And during the next timeout, I just wanted to have some fun with him and just remind him that when you're playing with Steph Curry, it's kind of a good idea to throw him the ball if he's open.
Yeah, and pretty funny that Buddy immediately, he got open late. Like, I was already into my thing. I just wonder about the general nature of the three. And last night you shot 48 threes as a team. Did you think, especially in that fourth quarter, that you got a little bit too three happy?
Yeah, as long as they're open, I love threes. And I think it's important for us to shoot them because, frankly, we're not a team that finishes really well inside. We don't get a lot of easy buckets. Now Jimmy has changed some of that. He gets to the line so easily. But what Jimmy does, I thought last night was a really interesting box score. Right, he took eight shots and scored 28 points because he got to the line 17 times. But what Jimmy's game is about is putting pressure on the defense, getting to the rim, and then either drawing a foul or kicking it out for a three. And so we had a lot of really good looks last night, and shots didn't go in. When they don't go in, we all tend to say, well, maybe we shot too many threes. But, look, that's who we are. We're in the top, three or four teams in the league, maybe second, I think, right now in three-point attempts. We need to do that as a team. We need to shoot a lot of threes because it's the modern NBA, and – other than Jimmy, we don't have a lot of guys who are, scoring and drawing fouls in the paint.
Coach, no surprise to you. There's always a lot of discussion about Jonathan Kuminga after every game. What are you seeing right now as far as his continued, you know, getting comfortable with the new Jimmy Butler Warriors, and what kind of plans do you have for him in the postseason, assuming that you get there, of course?
Yeah, I mean, every game is different, and I think, you know, Jimmy's arrival took away a lot of Jonathan's minutes at the four, and you know, there's no doubt that you know, as soon as Jimmy arrived and we started winning, we leaned into lineup combinations that enhanced Jimmy because we were winning, and Jonathan was out for that whole stretch. We went like, you know, 17-3 or something. So we're going to keep doing what's been winning, but it's the lineup with Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond doesn't fit real well. Frankly, it just doesn't. We need more spacing. We've found other lineups that have clicked, and this is just part of the deal. You know, being in the NBA, and you got to adapt to whatever, you know, whatever's happening with the team. Jonathan's done a great job of that. He's working hard. He's playing well when he's out there. But I'm just going with the lineup combinations that I think are going to give us the best chance to win. And, you know, there's going to be nights where he's absolutely part of that, like the Laker game. And then there's going to be nights where I go to Buddy or Moses or Gary Payton. It just changes every game based on what's happening. And I have to read that as a coach.
And thanks to you, Steve, I now look at combinations all the time. Two-man, three-man, four-man, five-man. And as I look at your best combinations, they all have a guy named B. Podziemski as a part of it. What does Pods do to make all of these combinations that he's a part of so successful?
He's got incredible feel for the game. And he attacks the rim in a really unique way. You know, he runs through... We call running through the catch, where, you know, somebody throws you the ball and you've got a slight angle on your defender, and you, instead of waiting and catching the ball and holding, you run right through the catch, put it on the floor and get into the paint and then move it again. So Brandon is constantly breaking down the defense for us. And that's one of the reasons he's in all the best lineup combinations, because that's ultimately what the game is about. Is you want to break down the defense, you want to space the floor, and you want to generate shots, and he's a guy who does a lot of that.
Coach, I know you haven't seen the Clippers in a while, but you also haven't beaten them this year. Are they, for some reason, matchup-wise, a more difficult matchup for you guys than other teams?
Well, number one, they're a great team. You know, I think that's the first thing. I think they're one of the best teams in the league. I think they're a top five defense, and then, you know, now that Kawhi is healthy, they're loaded with talent between Harden and Kawhi, Norm Powell, Zubats. I think is one of the best centers in the league, and Ty's a great coach. So they're just really good, and you know, so we got to take care of business here in Portland tomorrow, and then give ourselves a chance going into Sunday, so we're excited about it.
And about Portland, in the opener, you smashed them, and then you played them again in March, and it was a high-scoring affair, but this Portland team continues to look better and better, and a team that's not waving the white flag. When you look at them tomorrow, what is the thing that maybe concerns you most about the Blazers?
Just how hard they've played and how good they've been defensively. You know, they've really... gone through a transformation here the last couple of years under Chauncey, and with the lineup changes, roster changes, I should say, adding a lot of length. I think Denny Avia is fantastic, really impressive young guy. Kamara also, you know, good young player. They've added a lot of length and athleticism, Shaedon Sharpe as well. So this is a good team, and they've been excellent here the last couple of months.
I don't know, Coach. Maybe this is just what makes you so good to talk to, but you don't sound stressed at all. Everybody else sounds very stressed.
I'm not stressed. I'm excited. We have a really good team. We flipped up last night, but had a lot to do with the other team, and I've been through this a long time. The NBA, you know, Pop used to tell us, hey, guys, the other guys make millions of dollars a year, too, for a reason. They're pretty good at basketball. So, you know, it's not supposed to be easy. And that's how it works. So there's just nights where, you know, even against a team with a worse record, there's nights. And last night was one of them. And it's all about how you respond. And we've got to respond, and we've got to take care of all the details and the little things in order to, you know, offset some of the shooting variants that you can get.
Did you have any special words on the way out the door for either Barnes or Chris Paul last night?
No. I mean, I love both those guys. You know, that after the game, it's pretty emotional. It's not really a time where you end up visiting. But if I see him this summer, I'll mention the game.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah, perfect.
Maybe next time you see Harrison, just tell him to knock that off. I mean, where was that 9 years ago, HB, when we needed it? I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Coach, great to have you as always. Thank you so much. Best of luck the rest of the way. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
There it is. Steve Kerr in Portland getting ready for a large basketball game and chilling.
Yeah, he's chilling.
He's chilling.
And obviously he's not on the YouTube page because the 500 or so people on there and the commenters, they're not chilling. So maybe you hear Steve Kerr and you realize it's okay.
Well,
it's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's the nature of all of the roles.
It's the nature of Steve, right?
Yes, yeah. And it's also the nature of all of us fans. Like, I told you this during the crossover. You know, Christy, I don't know if she knew what to do with me last night. I was contorting my body and face in all kinds of weird ways because I had a hard time processing this one last night, at least in the moment. I'm not somebody who takes Warrior losses to bed with me. I don't get like depressed about it. You know what I mean? But this one, that felt like it had a lot of gravity to it in the moment. And it was unfolding slowly. A 12-point lead becomes 8, and then it's 4, and then it's 1. And now the Spurs are leading. And the whole time you're like, well, no. No. It's not accurate. They're not going to do this.
Well, they're
right?
Not going to cover.
They're not going to. Right.
I didn't have money on
exactly.
It.
Neither did I. But
yeah, okay, that's fine.
You're not going to actually lose this game, right?
No.
And then you get down to the very end, and I'm in a ball as Draymond hits his 2 free throws, and then you're like, okay, I think they've earned 5 more minutes, and then poof,
yeah,
the balloon pops, and you're like, oh
no. You can't lose to them now.
There's a problem, right?
Big problem, yeah.
But Steve is like, we've been through stuff like this. And you know what might have been the most interesting one sentence that he said? Play-in tournament's not a death sentence.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not. I've kind of been using it as a premise for about 4 weeks. But it's not. And it's interesting that he said that because their goal has been the 6th. Before you respond, that was Coach Kerr, presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Also brought to you by Rafael Lumber and Building Supply, serving contractors, homeowners, and the community in Marin for over 50 years. Visit their showroom today.
Of course, it's not a death sentence because you go into the play-in and you get to try to play in to the playoffs, but then I asked him the follow-up, which was your follow-up, because you asked him a two-part question, which you and I both know you're not supposed to do.
I know, but
and he answered one part, and I actually liked the second part, so I used it to follow up and said, well, you know, Steve, how big are these games to avoid exactly what you were laying out, which is the rest idea? And he said, well, yeah, of course we want to get into one of the 6, and of course we want to get that rest. But at the same time, it's not a death sentence, and he's right. You go in the 7-8 play-in, you lose. Ugh. You're still not done. Then you would play the winner of the 9-10, and you win that one, and you're a playoff team. It's not ideal, but if you're the 7 or the 8 seed going in, you do get 2 cracks at winning a game to get into the actual tournament. And he pointed out the Lakers 2 years ago, who were a play-in team, and then they went to the Western Conference Finals.
Too stressful.
I'm with you. Well, he's chilling, so am I.
He's chilling now.
Right.
Let's see how he's doing next Tuesday night if he's down 6 with 4 minutes to go.
Yeah. Or next Friday.
You're still chilling?
If you're hosting Dallas or Sacramento.
Yeah, and here comes Anthony Davis. The guy that you don't have to deal with anymore because he's not on the Lakers.
Or Zach LaVine, the one who got away.
Or, you want to know what visual just went through my head?
Klay Thompson.
Earlier today? Yep. What does Klay do? If Dallas, and this is, there's so many ifs.
Right.
Dallas is at Chase Center next Friday night. and they pull it off, what does Klay do to the crowd? Like, I'm vomiting in my mouth even thinking about this.
I think that he hits a three, and he runs over and he hits Joe Lacob with the night-night. Maverick,
so
Klay hits a three
gross.
To go up five
oh
with nine
God.
Seconds to go, and he runs over and just hits him with a skapow, night-night. Or maybe he gives him the double Johnny Manziel, the double Johnny Money sign. Or maybe he goes full John Morant
Anthony
and
Davis,
pulls pistols.
Anthony Davis has a double-double, and Nico Harrison runs onto the court and just starts mouthing, I told y'all!
I mean,
I told y'all.
Can we pull the plug on this? I love the
yeah,
bit.
Let's
it's kind of fun.
It's
funny,
gross.
But
it's awful. This is what I'm talking about. We're not there yet, so it's okay until it's not okay. Last night, you let the nightmare in the room. It's
yeah.
in here. It's not here, but it's in here. It's swirling. It's swirling in the whole like realm of possibility. And I want no part of it. No part of it. 1 hour from now, T-Wolves and Grizzlies tip off. Let's start there.
Right.
And see what happens.
And let's just go to Portland and handle business. And just
yes.
looking at the Portland injury report, and the answer is...
What do they got?
Everyone.
Everyone's playing.
No, they all didn't play the other night. Denny's got a thumb, didn't play Wednesday. DeAndre Ayton didn't play with a calf.
Well, Ayton hasn't been playing.
Jeremy yet. Grant's got a knee. He didn't play. Scoot didn't play with a concussion.
But this is all last night.
Right, but these are all like...
What are they doing? I don't care what they did last night. What are they doing tomorrow?
Well, Scoot's got a concussion, so if he's still in the protocol, Bryce McGowan's. I almost did Bruce McGowan. Shout out the other station 30 years ago. Bruce McGowan won't play with a rib.
Do you know what? They actually do. They do have... a report is already out for tomorrow.
Okay.
The Blazers have put their injury report for tomorrow is already out. Ooh, it's actually pretty encouraging.
Is it long? It's a long list.
It's long.
Like Robert Williams is out for the season.
He's been out for the year.
Bruce McGowan won't play.
Bruce
Neither
McGowan.
Will John Schrader.
Bruce.
Thank you. It's a throwback. Anybody out there 60
oh
years old or older?
Oh, my God,
pretty
that was
good.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Did you know he lives in Nebraska and
oh, yeah.
teaches now?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah
no
I
doubt.
Talk to John every now
yeah,
and again.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Anyway, Scoot,
he's not playing.
Scoot Henderson is out.
Yeah, with a concussion.
Anthony Simons, out.
Yeah, yeah.
And Denny Adia.
I think the V is silent.
Whatever. Is doubtful. This is already.
With the thumb.
And Jeremy Grant is out. So,
right, and DeAndre Ayton is probably not going to play with the Cavs.
No, Ayton is out. He's out.
Right.
They're all those guys are all very unlikely to play. So you're going against a carcass of a carcass
right.
tomorrow in Portland.
Which tells me...
You better win.
You take the Blazers in the 22.5.
Oh, God.
I mean, I know that number's probably not out yet, but that thing's got to be at least 15.
If you want to feel okay, so this group... The Blazers last night, without all these people,
okay.
they lost in Utah.
That's a good little team.
They lost to the Jazz. And the Jazz don't...
I thought you meant the University of Utah.
No, well, might as well have been. The Jazz don't play any of their players either.
Right.
Like, literally a bunch of people you never heard of got together in Utah last night and played an overtime basketball game, and Utah scored more points.
Man.
So... I didn't realize that. I did
Shaden
not realize.
Sharp with 37 in the loss.
Yeah, exactly. And Filipowski scored 30 for Utah.
What? You're making stuff up.
No, Filipowski, 30 and 18 for Utah last night.
Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. What's going on, man? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm sitting here with a pooch in the car.
All right.
I'm waiting to talk.
Now your time
right,
has come.
So listen, so I called in before Coach Kerr, the interview, to answer your question. Like if I was able to talk to the coach and express my feelings, what would I say? So I'll do it after the fact here. First thing I'd say is thank you so much, Coach Kerr, for your 10-plus excellent seasons of coaching. I'm the oldest or certainly one of the oldest callers. I go back to the original Celtics dynasty and the great Red Auerbach. I've gotten to watch, all the great coaches over the years, the Riley, Jackson, you know, Lenny Wilkins, and of course Popovich. I would rank you right up there with them. Now, of course, I don't need to say that, but one of the reasons I think you are one of the greats is because you've learned over the years. You've learned from your mistakes, and you're older, wiser, and better as a result. And I think what you've done this year is particularly impressive. Taking a core of three future Hall of Famers, totaling an age of 107 years, and blended them very successfully with a young future core that's really starting to, you know, blossom now at the right time. So I have full confidence that you're going to take us the rest of the way. And you mentioned that at some point you're probably going to get fired. I don't expect you to ever get fired, Coach. In fact, I expect you one day to ride off in the sunset with with Curry on a horse with music in the background, you know, like the old Westerns. So, once again, that's my ode to you. I love you, Coach, and best of success the rest of the way.
Wow, there it is. Gene?
Beautiful, Gene.
Yeah, that was beautiful. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Coach is in Oregon, and I'm not under the impression he's a P1 listener to the show, but I don't know. Maybe we'll play that for him next week.
Well, and if he is listening, there's no doubt there's a tear, one single thug tear rolling down probably from his left eye, because that was touching. And I do think that Steve was being very deferential over the idea of him getting fired, because you said it earlier, he's not getting fired.
He's not getting fired. How do you think this ends, whenever it ends?
I think that Steph announces that he's going to be good, he's going to wrap it up, and Draymond says, I go where he goes. And Jimmy says, well, I'd love to get another 2-year contract from somebody. About $140 million would do. And Joe Lacob says, nah, we're probably going to have to retool at some point. And Steve looks around and says, oh, geez, you know, I love you, Pods, and all the rest of you kids, but I've about had it. I've won 9 titles in 28 years as of now. Even if he doesn't win one in the next 3 years, that'd be 9 titles in 31 consecutive years of doing what he's done. It might be time for Steve to just do something else.
Prediction, because Steve has one more year on that 2-year extension.
After this one. Okay.
Steph and Jimmy Butler have 2 more years.
Yeah.
Right. So I
think Draymond also.
Right. Yep. I think this offseason you will see a new, fresh 1-year extension for Steve Kerr off of, you know, like, ooh, that playoff run that they made with Jimmy, whatever it is, and however long or short it goes, and then you'll see a 1-year extension for Steve Kerr, and then I do think, buckle up, Warrior fans, like, I do think this is it. I think that's it. I think after this season, you get 2 more years of whatever they all are. Steph, Steve, Jimmy presumably is on the team for those 2 years, and not part of some massive trade or something like that. But I think that's it. I don't think you're going to see any of them after. So what would that be? Going to 26,
27.
27.
It'd be 2 years from now.
2 years from right now.
So 2 more full seasons.
I think that's it.
I think you're right, but I also believe that if Steph Curry comes out at some point next year and he gets one more year added on, and Draymond then decides he wants one more year added on, taking Jimmy Butler out of it for just the moment, I don't think that he's a make or break in this, but if Steph and Draymond want to give one more year on top of their 2, I could see Steve sticking around for that. I do think that all 3 of them will go out together. They'll be coterminous in their deals and in their era here.
I agree with you on that one. Let's see. 24, 25. Yeah. Yeah, same thing. I guess, I mean, Draymond's going to need to exercise a player option to be a part of that. He has technically one more year on his deal and then a player option after that, which I'm sure he'll exercise. And then, yeah, I mean, he'll be 36 at that point. Probably could still keep playing basketball if he wants to. Don't know if he wants to. You know, business is booming on the broadcast again for Draymond.
Sure, but that will be there. And
yeah.
I do think that all of this goes through the chef. And Steve actually just mentioned it, because your question about, you know, how have you been able to keep this all together? And his answer was really Steph.
Yeah.
Steph sets the tone, and Steph is the culture. He said it before. So if Steph decides that he wants to play one more year on top of the next 2 in his 40-year-old season, and if he can still do it at a high level, maybe not this level, but if Steph can still do it and still wants to do it and Draymond does, I can't see Steve walking away from it.
No,
just
my
opinion.
You may well be right. My guess right now with where things sit is Steph Curry's going to play two more years and that'll be it, and that a lot of people will probably follow him right out the door. That would be my guess as of right now. But just kind of piggybacking on what you were just saying, man, shout out to calm leadership. Like that's the best way that I can sort of summarize what Steph Curry has created, this ability to have this whole thing stay together, even though like you've had also controversial things come in and out. Kevin Durant comes, Kevin Durant leaves, Klay Thompson has troubles, gets into it with the organization, he goes, in comes Jimmy Butler, whatever led to Bob Myers not wanting to do this anymore, he leaves, Mike Dunleavy comes in, but Steve points to this, and he's right, like, the ship never sank, and this whole thing, even with some incoming and some outgoing, it's all still sitting there. And I mean, as a parent even, I find it so difficult and challenging sometimes to go through all of the stuff that you go through and just do it with total calm and grace. And we've never seen him sweat. We've never seen him sweat.
No, I mean, you've seen moments in games, but you're right, in an overarching way, this thing has never broken apart. Even when they had years where they didn't make the playoffs or they got knocked out in the play-in, he never let it get to him, and they never let it get to them, and they've been able to keep it together largely because of Steph. So I do think when the chef goes, Draymond goes, and Jimmy probably goes, and if Steve goes, then you're looking at a whole new cast of characters.
Whole new banana.
I'm not ready for that.
Woo, me neither. We're sponsored by San Francisco International Airport. Still time for your calls. 888-957-9570. Some final thoughts coming up. This is Willard and Dibs.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We want the week off. We're also well aware that there's plenty of ways to get through this stuff. And you don't even know how matchups are going to play into this, you know, who you can play, how it plays out. I know the Lakers made the conference finals 2 years ago through the play-in. You know, I mean, this is like, it's not like it's a death sentence to go to the play-in. But there's no doubt you'd rather avoid it just to not have to deal with the extra game or two, but also the you know, the stress of having to get through those games.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, thank you, Coach. And thank you for coming on as you always do. And I tell you what, it's one of those situations I was always having this vibe sitting there talking to him. And there's a number of ways you can frame this. You ever been in a room kind of like full of drunk people and you're sober?
I mean, maybe. I'll say yes to play along.
All right, there you go.
I'm normally one of the other ones, but what's wrong with that guy over there?
It's hard. Like, I'll tell you real quick story. So there was one night.
You're always that guy.
Well, there was one night. This is a long, long time ago. And a car had been rented by many, many, a group of people to go to a concert. And on the way home from the concert, I had one of these things. I can't remember why. I had a really excessively early morning, probably when I was back doing morning radio, and this might not have been a Friday or a Saturday night. And so you get in the car after the concert and you hop in the car and there's 12 people and I'm completely like, well, I'd probably had some drinks earlier in the night, but I'm sober. Like we're done here. I got to be up at 4:30 in the morning. Everybody else is bezombed.
Except for the driver
got lost.
Oh, God.
And the driver is, and I know exactly where we are. And I'm watching, like, you're in the back of, like, a car. You can't
like
usually.
A van with 12 people?
Yeah, and you can't usually really tell where you are. You're talking to people. You're not noticing. Well, I start looking out the door because I'm like, why is this taking so long? I'm looking out the window and I'm like, oh, for crying out loud, this guy has, he's going off the rails.
We're in Fresno.
And I'm like, I'm starting to get, like, mad. And I'm stressed. And I'm like, dog, we're rocking about 4 hours sleep, and you're going to turn it into two. if you don't get your butt in the right spot on the road. So I start speaking up. Well, what do you think I get from everybody else who's in the car?
Quiet down, Churchy.
Bro.
We're having so much fun.
Chill, dude. It's fun. Why are you so stressed, bro? I'm like, oh, my God, you're so funny. And I'm just like, oh, God, this is just making
me. Left. Go left. And then two rights.
I'm just getting more and more mad.
Oh, yeah.
And more. And they're like, oh, God, this is a buzzkill. What's that? I'm like, oh, my God. So anyway. Finally figure the whole thing out. Here's why I tell the story. Steve is in Portland in a fancy schmancy hotel right now. It didn't sound like he had shoes on. He might have been going to dinner with somebody. The Wolves are about to play the Grizz. And he's just like, yeah, man, probably going to have a cocktail tonight. Like, NBA, Spurs are good. Hit some threes. But, you know, play again tomorrow. Meantime, everybody in the Bay Area is like, bleep, like everyone's freaking out.
Right.
So Steve was he's on a different wavelength than everybody else right now. And so that dynamic kind of struck me. So where he's like, dude, we're fine. We're completely fine. Like, I went into this week, I'm like, you can't lose any of these three games.
Yeah.
And Steve's like, eh, actually, we kind of can.
We can, and we did. And so, yeah, here we are, like, but... And,
crap!
Well, he also knows that the play-in is not a death sentence. Those were his words, and we all want them to get additional rest. He does, too. And you know who else wants additional rest? The vets and all of the players.
Oh, yeah.
You think Moses Moody wouldn't love a break from what's been going on, which is his struggles? And Steph Curry is married with four children, and I'm sure Steph would love to win Sunday and go home to Atherton or wherever it is down there in the South Bay, South Peninsula, and go ahead and sleep in on Monday, get up and play with his kids, maybe sneak in nine holes, go home and have his chef wife chef up some dinner, go to sleep, wake up Tuesday, and maybe you play 18 holes on Tuesday. Maybe you play 27, whatever it is. If you're Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler, you would love to have a week of a couple of light practices, some NBA watching, and some personal time. And, you know, Jimmy Butler probably would fly to Miami. I don't know if his family's all the way out here yet. Seems to me like he's still bi-coastal.
Or the United Arab Emirates. I have no idea where that guy goes. He seems to get 48 hours off, and he turns into Carmen Sandiego.
That's pretty funny.
Terrible reference.
That's a great reference. I loved it.
If you get
Randy,
it.
Randy, do you know who that is? Carmen Sandiego?
Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego?
Okay, great. All right. I feel better about it. Lucas, did you have any idea?
No clue.
Carmen Sandiego?
He's sending a tweet.
Any idea?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Okay. All right.
Is it a book?
Anyway.
It's a TV show.
TV show.
And
it was a video game too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
1991 is when the show started, which Grandy was -5 years old.
Sweet.
Like Where's Waldo, right?
Same sort of thing? Something like that.
Not even close.
It's a little bit more intricate than...
Right.
Like Where's Waldo's like what ends up on the kids menu underneath the chicken strips.
Nope, I heard the ding.
Where you like, right? Like Where's Waldo? Where, like all this like stuff on a piece of paper and you got to find where the little Waldo is?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Anyhow.
It's a little more than that.
Right. But to the greater point... is, yes, they also would love to have those days off.
Everybody but Pods.
Right.
I think Pods, except for maybe now after last night, but he was so hot, I was like, he probably doesn't want a day off.
Yeah.
He won't keep shooting.
He cooled off a little bit, and you know, I'm sure Kuminga would love to get out there and continue to play more basketball, but the greater point is, yes, he's chilling, but they also understand the intense nature of not only tomorrow, but Sunday as well. You win those, you get the sixth seed. Now you can really take a deep breath and get ready for the offs.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, Nathan in Oakland. Hey, thanks for calling, Nathan. What you got?
Yeah. Hey, I think it's just shockingly disrespectful to Steph to say he's only going to play two more years, considering he's playing at a very high level right now. So why do you think he only has two more years in him? I don't get it.
I didn't say he only had two more years in him. I'm predicting when he is going to want to walk away, Nathan. He can play for six more. He can play for 18 more as far as I'm concerned. But my prediction is that he's going to stop in 2 years. Just a prediction.
But doesn't he love to play basketball? I mean, he seems like he has so much joy for the game.
Of course. Just a prediction, Nathan.
But what's the prediction based on? Why?
Based on
Well, for based on his contract.
Based on his contract, based on his achievements, based on things that I've heard, and that's my prediction.
Okay.
And
You've got the insider scoop.
No,
huh?
I don't have a scoop. I do not have a scoop. It's a prediction, Nathan. And how about if I join you with,
okay,
I hope I'm wrong.
Well, I like
how
predictions
about
based on something. I bet you're wrong. And I think he can play for far more than 2 years because I think he loves playing basketball. The joy he has for the game is so apparent.
Yeah.
If he wants to, he can play off the bench. He'd be the ultimate sixth man. He'd be the best sixth man of all time because he's such a good shooter.
100%.
He'd be the best sixth man ever.
I don't disagree with any of that, Nathan. But my prediction is that Steph is going to stop in 2 years. I think sometimes it's underrated the job that he has and how much weight is on his shoulders. He doesn't just play basketball. He carries the weight of an entire franchise that is loved by millions of people. This is an unbelievable fishbowl. And I wonder if maybe he would like to put his feet up before he's 40 years old.
And I would add that two things. One, there are other things in his life that he loves.
Yep.
Maybe not as much as basketball, but probably pretty close. And there's only a grand total of about 35 players who've ever played after their 40th birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's one right now in the association.
Yeah, and his name's LeBron. Yeah,
right.
You forget. Like, he's going to be 39 after this contract.
Right. So when you're 40 and you look at the guys who've done it, a lot of them shut it down early in their 40th birthday. There aren't that many that played beyond 40 into 41. It just doesn't happen.
Real quick, Triples for Autism brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners, the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Warriors had 16 three-pointers last night. Steph led the way with 5. So that's another donation, 55th time this year for Triples for Autism. So great. If you'd like to get involved or make a donation, go to sfautismsociety.org. Triples for Autism is brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to pettinellifp.com. You know what's coming up next?
Yep. I have no idea.
Guess.
Dance.
Yeah, boy, that's right.
Yeah.
Here comes Warriors Roundtable. It's Gary St. Jean. It's Kevin Dana right around the corner. It's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Want to do it again tomorrow?
I can't wait.
Yeah, here we go. Portland, tomorrow night. We'll walk you right up to it. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.